Would you turn to Luke chapter 12, the Gospel of Luke chapter 12 this morning? We're going to look at another parable of Jesus that you only find in the Gospel of Luke. And such an important parable this is. Luke chapter 12, we'll be looking at verses 13 to 21 this morning. Lord, it's so grateful to have this. We're so grateful to have this time together, this holy moment together where we gather and worship you. We join our voices together with like a choir singing your praise. And to have this opportunity to look into your word, where we're reminded of truths. Lord, guide us. Strengthen us this morning from your word. Give us the proper motivations and priorities in life. Bless this time, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mark Twain said, and I quote, "Civilization is a limitless multiplication of unnecessary necessities." That man always had a way with words, didn't he? Civilization, a limitless multiplication of unnecessary necessities. Now, I don't know if that's true of every civilization, but I certainly think it's true of America. That defines America. A limitless multiplication of unnecessary necessities. We have more stuff in this country than we know what to do with. Countless gadgets, countless products, countless services available to us, and professional marketers working very, very hard every day to make us think we need their stuff. And so in America, a lot of people spend their life accumulating stuff. More clothes, more gadgets, more cars, more houses. Materialism in America is a religion. And many Americans are obsessed with it, and they even compete with each other over it. You remember the slogan many years ago, "The person who dies with the most toys wins." We define our status in society by the things that we have in this country. All these people running after stuff. Well, Christian, I hope that you haven't bought into all of that, because that is an utterly foolish way to live. In fact, people who live like that are fools. And that's not coming from me. Jesus, in our text this morning, calls all people who live like that fools. Look at verse 13. Let's begin in our text. It says, "Then one from the crowd said to him," Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he, Jesus, said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." So picture this in your mind. Jesus is standing before a large crowd. He's teaching very important spiritual truths. And there's this one man in the crowd who's stressed out over finances. He's having a dispute with his brother, who's probably standing right there next to him in the crowd before Jesus, and they're fighting over an inheritance. Their father has recently died. You know, it's been said often, where there is a will, there are a lot of relatives. Some of the ugliest fights among people take place over wills. You know, it's tragic. At the end of someone's life, they're fighting about wills. So these two brothers are fighting over this inheritance. Now, you remember, in those days, the firstborn son got a double portion. The younger son's got a single portion. It's thought that perhaps this man was a younger brother. And he's saying, it's not fair that I get one portion just because I was born after my older brother, and he gets two portions. And so he's thinking about that, and he blurts out while Jesus is teaching, Jesus, tell my brother to divide evenly the inheritance. Now, if you examine the context of chapter 12, Jesus has just been teaching that crowd some very important, serious, heavy spiritual truths. He's been talking about matters of the soul. He's been talking about salvation, eternal life, bringing to life those that are spiritually dead. He's just warned the crowd, don't you dare be a hypocrite, because all hypocrisy will be uncovered in the last days. He's just taught on the unforgivable sin, the sin known as the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. These are very heavy, serious, spiritual things. And this man in the crowd, it's like he didn't even hear it. He's like, teacher, tell my brother to split the inheritance with me. See, that's the problem when people are preoccupied with stuff. Oftentimes when you're preoccupied with stuff, you miss all the important stuff. You lose sight of what really matters. You're all zeroed in on these petty little earthly things. Remember the story of Jacob and Esau? You remember they're twins? They're born. Esau goes out first. Jacob comes out second, holding onto the heel. So Esau's born first. He gets the birthright. He's the firstborn. And that's a big deal. You get the double portion. Well, when they're older, you remember Esau was a hunter, a manly type of man, and he's out in the fields. And he comes home, he's exhausted, he's hungry. And Jacob, he's more of the domesticated type. He's the chef, and he's put this wonderful stew, this soup, together. You remember the story? And Esau says, give me a bowl of soup. And Jacob says, what will you give it for me? What will you sell? And he said, whatever, just name it. And Jacob goes, how about your birthright? And Esau says, yeah, take my birth. He sells his birthright for a bowl of soup. And that's kind of what this man in this crowd was like. And it kind of describes what all the people who are preoccupied with stuff are like. They're living their lives for bowls of soup and ignoring their birthright that's available for them. You notice the reaction that Jesus has to this man. I love it. I think it speaks volumes. Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he, Jesus, said to him, man, not even brother or friend, right? Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? In other words, man, this is not my area of concern for your life. I didn't come from heaven to earth to fix your petty little earthly disputes. You have judges. You have, you know, civil authorities. Go to them. Let them sort through all your stuff problems. But that's not my place. And we find something from Jesus here. He's not preoccupied with your stuff the way you might be preoccupied with your stuff. Jesus isn't in heaven, you know, holding his breath. Oh, I hope they get that inheritance. Oh, I'm going to move and make sure they get that Beamer. Jesus doesn't care about that. Jesus is concerned about much greater things for your life. He came to give eternal life, to raise the spiritually dead, to bring salvation, to change hearts, to bring satisfaction and meaning to people's lives. Now, that doesn't mean that he's not concerned about physical, material necessities in life. He is, and he'll take care of you. And that doesn't mean that he's not concerned about injustice and oppression. He is, and he will take care of all of that one day. But he's not into making sure that you win in the rat race. He's not there concerned about you becoming more and more rich, more wealthy. He doesn't bother with that. That's not his deal. He says to this man, "Don't drag me into your public dispute with your brother over money. That's not my deal. Take it to the proper authorities." Now you notice, after he has this real short exchange with this man, this individual in the crowd, verse 15 then says, "And he said to them," so now he turns to the whole crowd. He uses this little interruption as an excuse to now teach something very important to the whole crowd that's listening. Things about money and the pursuit of stuff. And by the way, this is he addresses the crowd because this is a big deal for everyone. And it's really a big deal for us as well. And he gives them and us a strong warning. And he gives them and us a very important principle to never forget. First, the warning. Verse 15, he said to them, "Take heed and beware of" what? Covetousness. That is a very strong warning in the Greek language. Beware. Be on highest alert. Be on constant guard. The picture here is that this thing, covetousness, is like an ugly monster that is on constant attack and will do you great harm. And you must constantly beware of covetousness. Now, covetousness, it's a very, very serious sin. I think a lot of people look at it as a light sin, you know, compared to adultery or murder or theft or crime or drug abuse. But no, understand, covetousness is a very, very serious sin. In fact, it made God's top 10 list. It's in the Ten Commandments, right? 10th commandment, Exodus 20. "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." And by the way, do you notice that covetousness seems to be the motivation behind the other sins? People commit adultery because they covet someone else's wife. People commit murder, steal, bear false witness, oftentimes because they covet what somebody else has. Oh yeah, covetousness is serious. Jesus said, beware of it. The Greek word for covetousness here is pleonexia. Two Greek words smashed together. Pleon means more. Echo means to have. This word simply means to have more. And the idea is it speaks of somebody who already has everything that they could possibly need. But they want more. Some translations of the Bible actually use the word greed instead of covetousness. Beware of greed. Beware of this desire of always wanting to have more. Beware of that. You know, there's nothing wrong with wanting or needing basic necessities in life. That's proper. And working and being responsible to get those necessities. The problem is when you want more and more and more. You have all the clothes you need, but you need more clothes. Better clothes. You have a great car, but you need more cars. You already have a great house to live in. You need a big, big house. You need more houses. More, 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 more. Maybe you're you're in that little competition. You know, you're trying to keep up, and you like that status in society by all the stuff that you have. Beware of that. It's a monster. It can derail God's plan for your life. It can absolutely blind you from the things that truly matter in life. Take heed to that warning this morning. Take heed to these scriptures. Let me just read a couple of scriptures to you. Hebrews 13, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Your greatest treasure is God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, hear that, if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith, have pierced themselves with many griefs. Paul says in Philippians 4, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Beware of that frenzied accumulation for stuff. And we're bombarded by it every day in this country, aren't we? Every day. That shouldn't matter. That shouldn't be your big thing as a Christian. And then notice the principle that he gives to the crowd and to us. It's beautiful. Verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Listen carefully to that. Your life does not consist in the abundance of the things that you own. In fact, it has no bearing on you. There are so many things that are more important in life than your stuff. You as a person are more important than your stuff. The inward you, your character, your soul, your spirit, your eternal destiny, your relationship with God, your relationship with other people, way, way more important than the stuff that you own. Your worth as a human being is not in any way, shape, or form measured by the stuff that you own. Do you realize that? So it's foolish to spend your whole life running to get as much stuff as you can when your life doesn't consist in the abundance of the stuff that you own. It makes more sense to pursue things that matter. Right? And in the eyes of God, please understand, in the eyes of God, your stuff has no bearing on your worth before God. You're equal in the eyes of God whether you drive a BMW or a clunker. Whether you live in the wealthiest neighborhood of El Paso or you live in a trailer park. Same value before God. Whether you wear designer clothes or whether you shop for your clothing at the thrift store. Same value. You understand that? From the billionaires on planet Earth who take joyrides into space, to the poorest orphan boy who lives on a dung heap in Bombay, India, all are equally valuable in the sight of God. Oh, we look at each other and we size each other up and, you know, we do our evaluation. But it's not like that with God. There are no VIPs with God. A poor man bows his head to pray. A rich man bows his head to pray. Does God give the rich man more attention? Nope. Brother and sister in Christ, please remember this. Maybe this is something we should remind ourselves daily. Your life does not consist in the abundance of the things that you own. So it makes no sense to pursue that with all of your energy, all of your time. It makes more sense to make sure that you are pursuing things that matter most. Now, Jesus is also going to give a very good reason why it's foolish to live a life where you're just worried about stuff. And this is where he gives the parable. Read this parable. It's amazing. Verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, still speaking to the crowd. Here's the parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? And then he says to the crowd, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Man, you look at the details of this parable, and I fear that it describes many people in our country. You got a very rich, successful man. He's worked hard. He's got a great agricultural operation, big barns. He's got this field that he's been working. He's been very successful. He's already got barns full of stuff. Well, he has a particularly good year, better than he's ever had before, and now he's got a big problem. Where do I put all my stuff? I've run out of room. Well, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down the current barns. I'll build a bigger barn. Greater. I'll have more. I'll store it all up. I'll have goods for years. And then you know what I'll do? I'll kick back. I'll retire. I'll eat, drink, be merry. I'll vacation. I'll host parties. Big plans. Here's a guy who spent all of his life accumulating stuff, and at this moment in life, he's got bigger plans for more stuff. Now, in this parable, this man is covetous. He's greedy. He's selfish. Remember, the word for covetous is this desire to have more. He already has enough. Way more than he needs. And certainly there's a lot of poor people in his community with hungry mouths that he could feed. But no, he's going to hoard it. Build bigger. Store up more stuff. Kick back. You notice in this, all the my's and the I's, I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I'll store all my crops. You notice this guy doesn't give any credit whatsoever to God. God's not in his picture. He's taking all the credit for it, which, by the way, is interesting because in an agricultural farming environment, you rely so much on God. Gang. In fact, a study several years ago came out. the Associated Press released a study done by an agricultural school in Iowa. It reported that production of 100 bushels of corn from 1 acre of land, in addition to the many hours of the farmer's labor, required 4 million pounds of water, 6,800 pounds of oxygen, 5,200 pounds of carbon, 160 pounds of nitrogen, 125 pounds of potassium, 75 pounds of yellow sulfur, and other elements too numerous to list. In addition to these things, which no man can produce, rain and sunshine at the right time are critical. It was estimated in that report that only 5% of the produce of a farm can be attributed to the efforts of man. And here's a guy, look what I've done. All my crops. I'll keep it all. And here he is, you know, he sees him, I'm a genius. I'm a financial genius. Look at me, look at what I've done, look at what I've accomplished. And all of us, you know, people in this, we'd look at that guy and go, wow. He is, he's a fun, he's, what does God call him? Fool. The rich, successful, wealthy man, fool. Why does he call him a fool? Because that guy spent all of his life focused on stuff, accumulating stuff, making big plans for more and more stuff, and he never gave a thought to the next life. God says to that man, tonight you die, rich man. Tonight, you have to give an account for your soul. Death is knocking on your door tonight. It is foolish to put all of your energy and to live into the accumulation of stuff in this world because it does not help you in the next world. Gang, you cannot take it with you. When you die, you leave all the stuff behind. Bible says, naked we come into this world, naked we leave. You come into this world with nothing. You leave this world with nothing. You know, when you're driving that trailer down the highway, man, you get to notice all the other cars around you driving the trailers, and you didn't realize how many of that. But I saw a lot of interesting vehicles towing trailers, but you know what I've never seen? I've never seen a hearse tow a U-Haul trailer. When you're laid in the dirt, you take nothing with you. Nothing. Zero. It doesn't help you in the next life. Now, some might argue, wait, but this guy's brilliant because he's got this huge nest egg for children, grandchildren. He's putting together this wonderful estate, and all of his kids will be taken care of. I get that, and I think it's prudent, you know, to be responsible and save up money, not only for yourself in retirement and for your kids and grand. But don't go overboard. Listen to what King Solomon, the wealthiest man to have ever lived, said about that. In Ecclesiastes 2, he says, then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he be wise or a fool? Yet, he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled, in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. He says, this is vanity. This is a chasing after the wind. It says, therefore I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I had toiled under the sun. For there's a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. It says, that's vanity. It'd be interesting to see a study on how many times great corporations in the States have been utterly destroyed by children and grandchildren who took over. History proves that if you hand things over to people who do not appreciate the work and the effort that goes into it, it doesn't go well. So take it easy, Mom, Dad. Be very careful. You don't want to just hand the Cadillac over. You want your kids to always have some skin in the game, to be responsible, to learn what it means to, oh, I got to do this, or man, I'm in trouble. We all grow that way, right? So don't get too obsessed with that. And by the way, when you die, the most important thing you can leave for your kids is a godly legacy. A man of faith. A woman of faith. This is the way you do life from a perspective of faith. All the stuff won't help you. And the real tragedy here is this man, not that he's can't bring his stuff with him. The real tragedy is that he's heading into eternity with a soul that has not been prepared for eternity. By all indications, this man has given no thought to the Lord, no thought to the next life. And he goes into an eternity apart from Christ. He had 70 plus good years. But he hadn't prepared for eternity. It's been said that greed is the logical result of the belief that there is no life after death. We grab what we can, while we can, however we can, and then hold on to it hard. But there is life after death. There is. There is eternity. The most important part about you is your soul. Jesus said, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Most important thing in life is to make sure your soul is safe and in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's foolish to live preoccupied with stuff. What's the wise thing to do? Well, Jesus tells us at the end of verse 21, be rich toward God. No matter what your income is, no matter the material, be rich toward God. Live your life being rich toward God. What does that mean? Well, that means, first of all, to get right with God, to make sure that you have a relationship with God. I pray everyone here this morning has responded to the gospel message. You know that Jesus left heaven, came to earth, died on the cross for your sins, and rose again so that your sins could be forgiven and you could become a child in the family of God. Number one, most important thing you can do in life, to surrender your life to Christ, to ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. And then after you become a Christian, determine that you're going to serve Him in your business, in your career, in whatever it might be. And begin to acknowledge right then and there that everything you have has been given to you from God. Acknowledge Him as the source. And then use your resources generously to help others, to do the work of the Lord, the work of the ministry, to fund missionaries, local churches, Christian organizations. Be rich toward God. Listen to some things that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm just going to read them to you, but listen, this is so important. Matthew 6, Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Christian, did you hear that? You can't bring any of your stuff with you, but you can send treasures ahead of you that last forever. Man, forever, 70 years. Send treasures ahead. Be rich towards God. He goes on in Matthew 6 to say, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Why do you worry about clothing? Jesus asks. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, or the non-believers, that's what they're all into. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Where's your focus? Where's your goal in life? Evaluate that. Let's not be foolish. Let's be wise. Don't get caught up in the materialistic frenzy that you see all around you. Listen, work hard. Earn an honest living. Yes, prepare for the future. Be prudent. Be responsible. But don't go overboard. And I'll let you define overboard for yourself. I'm not gonna put a money amount on it. Between you and the Lord, what's going overboard and what's not? And then turn around and share and be generous and be rich toward God. Amen? May God give us strength. Let's pray for that. Lord, give us strength. Give us wisdom, give us discernment to navigate these issues in life. We hear so many voices every day about such things. But there's one voice we want to hear, and we want to hear yours. And you've told us to beware of covetousness. And I pray for my brother and sister in Christ. I thank you for the tremendous ways that you have blessed so many of us living in this beautiful country. We're so grateful and thankful for it. And I pray, Lord, that would be something that we would use for your glory, not to hoard for ourselves. Teach us how to please you in these matters. Teach us every day how to be rich towards you, your kingdom. Our attitudes, the way we live, the way we do work and jobs and family and church. And then, Father, I want to pray for anyone here this morning or perhaps listening online, and you haven't taken that first step with God. You need to get right with God. You need to have your sins forgiven, washed away. You need to place your faith and trust in Jesus, who died for you and rose again that third day. You receive Christ and you will become a child in the family of God. Maybe you're here and you've done real well materialistically. I mean, you've done really, really well, but it hasn't satisfied you. Or maybe you haven't done so well and you're tired of chasing the carrot. Because you know what? When you catch that carrot, it won't satisfy you. You need Christ. You need Christ in your life. And he will clarify. He will confirm. He will teach you on how to use all the stuff for his glory. But you need to receive him. Have you received him? If you haven't, I want to lead you in a prayer right now. Cry out to him. Be ready for death. Don't let death take you by surprise. Know for sure that you're going to go to heaven when you die. If that's you, pray in your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to be sure. I want to be a part of your family. I admit my sins. I am a sinner. I've blown it. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for my sins, for dying in my place, for taking the punishment that I deserve, and rising again that third day. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. Make me a child in your family. Help me to walk with you and follow you all the days of this life. In Jesus' name. Amen.